A Democrat wants a rematch against Congressman Rodney Davis, but first she has to win a primary against a candidate from further to the left.
Our mission is to make sure that we flip the Illinois 13th district.
That's Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, February 26th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with the race for the Democratic nomination in the 13th Congressional District. Charlie Schlenker has the story.
Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan wants a rematch against Congressman Rodney Davis, the Republican who beat her by 2,000 votes in 2018. First, Londrigan will have to defeat Stephanie Smith of Urbana in the March 17th Democratic primary. One area where Londrigan and Smith disagree is health care. Londrigan supports a so-called public option in which people could buy into a government-run insurance program like Medicare. Private insurance would still exist, but people could choose to get a government insurance plan instead. Smith supports Medicare for All, also known as a single-payer system. The government would provide insurance to everyone, and private insurance would mostly go away. Londrigan says that's not what people want.
Across the district, I hear from people who like the insurance they have. They want to keep it. It's just they need help with the cost.
Londrigan says a good alternative is Medicare as a public option, beginning in rural communities and with small business owners.
Our rural communities have lost providers, so this would bring competition to the market and lower the costs.
If Londrigan is the nominee in the 13th district, it's possible she would share the ballot with a Democratic presidential nominee such as Bernie Sanders, who supports Medicare for All.
But let's be clear about something. Republicans are not in the business of protecting health care. The only ones having these discussions about, you know, which tack to take to make health care better are Democrats.
The winner of the March 17th primary would face Davis in November. The sprawling district includes parts of Bloomington Normal. It is considered a toss-up. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Alan Beeman returned to the Illinois Supreme Court in his ongoing pursuit of a jury trial against the town of Normal and three former police officers involved in the 1993 murder investigation that sent him to prison. The state's high court reversed his conviction. Two Illinois sheriffs, including Tony Childress in Livingston County, say some violent felons who had faced deportation are instead released into local communities after their prison terms end, as a result of a policy change from Governor Pritzker's administration. They say they were not given a reason for the policy switch, which they called reckless. And the Bloomington Normal chapter of the NAACP is wading into a controversial practice of placing children in seclusion at school, some allegedly for improper reasons, for too long, or without properly notifying parents. NAACP President Linda Foster says her group was willing to partner with local school districts to, quote, make certain discipline is constructive, meted out fairly, and free of biases. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. The Bloomington City Council is nearing the finish line on next year's budget, which goes into effect May 1st. No major tax or fee increases are planned in the $230 million spending plan, but the city is planning to kick in more money for road work and start design on a new pool at O'Neill Park. I spoke with Terry Renner about another expense, $1.3 million for repairs to the half-century-old Market Street parking garage downtown.
I think we need to recognize that with the 380, I believe it is, something like that, nearly 400 spaces every day that are in the lot, it's an important, or garage, excuse me, it's not a lot, is that we should revitalize that, maybe even as Alderman Black mentioned last night, tear it down, start from scratch. Now, we would be really having lots of parking issues if we just tore the whole thing down and maybe didn't do it in phases. So I think that should be done. And we might, therefore, in a reconfiguration of this building, make it more of a destination and maybe even rent out some more of the floor rather than just to the post office. So maybe have some light retail come in as well.
I guess why hasn't it been dealt with in a more permanent manner already? I mean, this the idea of it aging and requiring a few hundred thousand dollars here and there.
Well, because Bloomington, for the better part of the last two generations, has been focused more on sprawl and has let lots of things, including our streets and infrastructure, deteriorate. And those are what I would call legacy costs. There's nothing that you can do to complain about the past. You just got to go forward. I mean, we've got lots of sewers and sidewalks and street repaving that should have been done in the past. They were not. Those were not high priorities. The parking garage was not a high priority. I think that that should have been a critical piece of downtown revitalization at least 20 years ago. But that's my opinion. I wasn't mayor then. I'm mayor now. And that's what we're going to try to do.
What's a new garage cost these days?
Oh, it depends on what you include in that.
Well, let's say some light retail, you know, nothing too elaborate.
It's very likely in the $14, $15 million range.
So the new budget, as proposed, has some money for design work for the O'Neill Park Pool project.
That's correct. $738,000.
To be precise. What about the new this idea of a new Eastside Fire Station, library expansion? Is there any money set aside for either of those?
Well, some of the library board itself has been pushing that and paying for those costs largely in terms of planning and what some of their options there might be. We're a little behind that point in deciding on a fire station or fire stations. There are many options that we have in terms of kind of moving the fire station chess pieces around in the Northeast, and that's some of what we're still exploring. Now, the good news of that is that you don't need as much time to design a fire station and to move forward as you would with a library, and trying to turn the library and perhaps much of City Hall into more of a campus and destination than it currently is.
Terry, in the new budget, tax revenue is in pretty decent shape. It's up about 1.5% across various taxes that the city pulls in. There's one area of weakness, though, utility tax. So
yes.
This is the city is budgeting for almost $500,000 less in utility tax next year, largely because of the reduction in the telecommunication side of that. And I guess so in plain English, that's because people are, you know, with cell phones are moving away from landlines. And so
Absolutely.
They're not paying that tax. So losing nearly $500,000, how do you account for that? Because some of that historically has been earmarked for police and fire pensions.
Well, they are. The increase that was passed in 2014, and by increase, we're still lower than the town of Normal in terms of our utility taxes. But that's going to create even more difficulties in 2024 when we don't have as much money in our police fire pension funding. Now, the state's trying to work on some of that, but and that may help us at the margins, but we're still anticipating having to make some real tough decisions as we move forward with police and fire pensions. Not as many as we already have. So I think our biggest hump was back in 2014 when we dedicated a variety of revenues to our police fire funding.
What do you mean by tough decisions in 2024?
That means we have to figure out, do we raise fees or taxes, or do we make some additional cuts in order to try to fund the police fire pension obligations?
Why is 2024 sort of the magic number, but why is that the decision?
Just in terms of our investments, the investments have not been quite as robust as we've heard. I believe we projected, this is not exactly right, but somewhere around 7.5% returns, and I think they've come closer to about 1% less than that. And so, as I understand it, is the year where we may have a significant gap, and we got to figure out how to fill it.
You can listen to the rest of this interview at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the Normal Public Library Board meets at 5:30 tonight. Also meeting tonight is the Unit 5 School Board, which will be voting on a student transportation services extension. District 87 is meeting too. They'll consider a plan to offer an athletic activity pass for $40 to Bloomington Junior High School parents. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.